you so much for joining us and for being a part of the conversation. Share your thoughts on our WhatsApp line on 0829-904-904. Get us on Facebook. Get us on Twitter. You're welcome, certainly, to share your thoughts, too, on the SMS line on 35904. Now, joining us to tackle a few misconceptions around female lawyers who work in the oil and gas sector is the director and head of the oil and gas sector at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, Megan Rogers. Megan, good evening and thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Benito, and good evening to your listeners as well. Thank you for having me.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. How would you describe, or rather, let me rephrase that, what do you enjoy about the oil and gas sector?
So, many things, Benita. I mean, my particular area of specialization is upstream oil and gas projects. So, really, the type of clients that I work with are clients who are essentially exploring for hydrocarbons for the oil and gas resource in various countries. I do a lot of work in South Africa, but also a lot of work outside of South Africa, throughout Africa as well. The types of clients that, you know, that I generally assist are the international oil companies and a lot of local oil companies as well. We have quite a sort of budding oil and gas community in South Africa, you know, entrepreneurs who've moved into the space. And it's a very technical space, very technical area of law, very scientific, and sort of keeps you on my toes. And I learn something new every day. And I think that's part of, you know, continuing to do what you love. If you're learning every day, then keeps you motivated, keeps you focused.
Is that one of the things that about why you enjoy what you do, just that daily learning that you experience?
Absolutely. And you know, you're never too old to learn, right? I mean, I've been doing this for a while now, for a good few years. I won't reveal my true age, but I must admit, you know, with, you know, changes in technology, changes in, you know, just the methodologies that these oil companies use, of course, evolve over time. So you're constantly learning the scientific elements of, you know, the sector. So it's not exclusive to law, so to speak. And you're required to draft contracts around, you know, these very specific, very technical elements of their project.
Yeah.
So I do learn every day.
And how under fire is the sector? I'm thinking particularly around the pressure on climate change, the reduction of fossil fuels. The sector's been known for one of those that are possibly one of the contributors to our current climate woes. How under fire is the sector?
So to a large extent, if you look at what the international oil companies have been doing for quite a while now, is they've evolved their business models to becoming an energy solution company.
Oh.
So we see energy mixes. What we see is traditional oil and gas companies evolving into renewables, adding that to their, you know, to their portfolio, so to speak.
Yes.
So they're moving towards becoming a big contributor in terms of cleaner energy as well. The super major oil companies have, you know, had that strategy for a good few years now. There's a big move towards having an energy mix, and oil companies are best placed to do that, right? Because they are in the energy driven sort of sector already through their oil and gas projects.
And I suppose quite well known in, sorry to interject, they're quite well known in what they do. So the spotlight is on them. So no surprise that, in fact, they would be one of those early adopters in terms of refocusing what they do.
Yeah, or just adding to their portfolio mix. I mean, oil companies traditionally are, you know, all about sustainable development and ensuring that, you know, there's protection in the environment as part of their either their exploration activities or their production activities.
Mm.
They've already had high standards when it comes to what we call the HSC requirements. So this just the add of renewables to their portfolios just creates a sort of an added level of complexity to their businesses, and one which will ultimately meet the Paris change, climate change requirements under the Paris Agreement. Mm. So all companies are doing a lot in this space in order to ensure that we meet those targets under the Paris Agreement.
What sort of resistance does the sector encounter, particularly as you say, you're working on the exploration side? Are there lots of battles in terms of various countries abroad with their legislations to protect the environment?
So what we see, Benita, is what I see in particular is there's a lot of sort of a misconception and misunderstanding of the processes that oil companies follow during their exploration activities. It's very different from the mining sector, particularly around exploration. It's a completely niche and completely new sector, particularly from a South African perspective. I mean, we haven't had much hydrocarbon exploration in the jurisdiction for a good few years now. So all companies who come and explore in South Africa in particular are doing a lot of education amongst the public as to what they're doing, mm. As part of their processes to discover the resource. But of course, everybody, we know the mining sector, and we've had to explain, that it's the processes are completely different to mining. So there's been a lot of education. And then, of course, from a legislative perspective, in South Africa at the moment, we have an upstream oil and an upstream petroleum resources development bill, which has just been introduced. So we're seeing a change of laws, being introduced by government. It's currently in front of parliament at the moment. And this, unfortunately, does create a bit of investor uncertainty. Oil and gas companies are here for the exploration period is 10 years. So they need to know, and it's a high risk environment, capital intensive. You're seeking to find a resource. So you're not generating any revenues or, selling a product on the market. You're actually trying to find the resource. So it's capital intensive from that perspective. And there's a 1 in 9 chance of success. After spending literally millions of USD trying to find the resource. So capital intensive, and when we have changes of laws, it obviously impacts on investor uncertainty. And as a continent, Africa has had quite a few changes of laws in the oil and gas sector, not really motivated by environmental principles or policies, but more because governments are starting to realize, the nuances of the sector, and they're trying to establish the fiscal framework for when these projects actually do end up producing.
Is this to give them, to make sure that they are not left out of the profit window, or that they get some sort of stake in it? Or what
correct.
Is it?
Correct.
Okay.
100%. Governments are, we have what is called the resource curse as an Africa unfortunate precedent. Repeating the examples of Nigeria and Angola are ones that most African countries are particularly concerned about, where essentially, there wasn't any beneficiation to the people. And governments are trying to, when they change their laws, it's more from the perspective of trying to ensure that there's some infill into the fiscus of the country, and it reaches the people ultimately. So those are the kinds of changes that we see governments introducing. But South Africa has a very robust environmental law system. All companies have probably a higher standard than what most countries have in terms of the environmental laws. In terms of their policies and their HSE plans.
Wow, that's saying something, that the oil companies have higher environmental standards than some of the governments in some territories. That's quite a marker there, Megan, that the sector has set for itself.
Yes, they are very serious about, the environment, and eventually, ensuring that they maintain high standards. It's a reputational, it's a reputational point for them as well. And they move, they all companies don't only work in one country, they work in many countries. So they try and maintain these standards as a universal sort of policy. And generally, you know, they exceed what is required under the regulatory frameworks in different countries.
Wow.
Yeah.
Quite fascinating.
They're quite robust and quite sophisticated in their approach.
I certainly would imagine so. On a personal point of view, Megan, as a female lawyer, did you have to break a lot of barriers to get where you are?
Oh, absolutely. As a female in the legal fraternity, I mean, even today, Benita, we have to acknowledge that the legal fraternity is still predominantly male-dominated, and the oil and gas sector even more so.
Mm.
But the legal fraternity as a whole remains, you know, male-dominated. And when I chose to become an oil and gas lawyer, you know, as my preference, my area of specialization, I mean, some of the responses I received were, "Are you sure you want to do this?" You know, the legal fraternity is already challenging for women. So how does that fit into the longevity of your career? You know, are clients going to want to work with you? but I had enjoyed the sector so much because of the intricacies and, you know, the complexities of the sector, and it kept me on my toes every day. I didn't want to do anything else. So even though there were, you know, negativity around, you know, my career trajectory and so forth, I forged ahead and I said, this is what I want to do. And ultimately, I did have that moment of hesitation because, you know, when people create doubts around your choices, you pause, right? And you go into, your brain magnifies that possibility of failure. But ultimately, in my case, passion and drive trumped, you know, the possibility of failure. And I then realized that, in actual fact, it wasn't a fear of failure. It was the fear that I wouldn't have lived my passion. I would have never sort of leaped into this opportunity and presented myself in this world. Mm. And I accepted that as, you know, coming with necessary inconveniences or discomforts, you know, because transformation requires an element of discomfort and inconvenience. So I accepted that as sort of my burden to bear, and I worked hard to earn my place in the sector, and I was prepared to just sort of fall as I leaped.
Yeah, I think often living or coming to terms with regret is a lot worse than facing failure or quote-unquote failure, because you know you would have at least attempted it. But regret is so difficult because it means that you possibly shied away from a particular opportunity. Do you think, Megan, that being goal-orientated is one of those attributes that is one that, as you say, you know, that allowed you to persevere and break down those barriers regardless, because you were focused on finding out and fulfilling your passion here?
Yes, absolutely. Being goal-oriented is one of the key sort of fundamental personality traits that you have to have, particularly in the legal fraternity. You know, everything around us is sort of goal-oriented. Clients have goals, you know, courts of goals and deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
So being goal orientated is definitely an important element to success. And also just being passionate, you know, about what you're doing and enjoying what you're doing, because you know, it's a long-term career. You want to be doing this until you reach your retirement age. So you have to be happy and enjoy what you do. And have those goals as well. Yeah.
Would you share that advice with a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed legal eagle looking excited at her career trajectory going forward?
Absolutely. With the bright-eyed, bushy-tailed one, you know, there's always this eagerness to prove and eagerness to succeed, and, you know, that instant gratification around success. And In the legal space, and particularly in the oil and gas sector, it's a long-term investment. So you have to give yourself, my advice would be to give yourself permission to be brilliant and to also recognize your imperfections and, you know, allow yourself to make those mistakes and to learn from those mistakes. That would be the advice which I wish I had heard a couple of years ago, you know, when I was that bright-eyed, bushy-tailed person.
Megan Rogers, Director and Head of the Oil and Gas Sector at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Fascinating, Megan. Thank you so much for sharing your life and your sector and what you do with us and for joining us in conversation. It's much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Benita.